You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The NBA Finals are over. And now the real fun, known as the NBA offseason, can officially begin. To break it all down and how it impacts your Houston Rockets, welcome in to another new episode here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. We're also sponsored by Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now officially underway. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. As we chat on this Monday, June 17th, it's been a very busy weekend in the NBA. Of course, the finals were complete last Thursday. We did a show on Friday breaking down the implications not only of Toronto's win, but also the injuries to Kevin Durant in Game 5 and Klay Thompson in Game 6, what that could mean for the Rockets, and of course, the primary implication being that it broadens Houston's championship window, especially in this upcoming season, with Durant and Klay likely to miss most, or more than likely, all of it. So we looked into that towards the end of last week, and then over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we had some interesting news and some interesting rumors about players either directly with the Rockets in the case of Chris Paul or potentially leaked to the Rockets in the form of Jimmy Butler. We'll talk about both of those two guys as we move our way through our usual three-segment show. But here at the top, I want to discuss the news of the day in the NBA, which is the Anthony Davis trade to the Los Angeles Lakers. It was never realistic to think that AD was going to the Rockets. We talked about that Daryl Morey would undoubtedly try. At this point, though, it is very obvious why the Rockets could not get in the game for AD. The haul that New Orleans, led by David Griffin, former Cleveland Cavaliers GM, got in that trade announced late Saturday, well, leaked to Woj late Saturday, I should say, hasn't officially been announced, and that's the subject of a lot of intrigue moving forward. If it gets announced on July 6th, as soon as the moratorium ends, the Lakers have between $23 and $27 million in cap room, depending on whether AD waives his trade bonus. And if they wait until later in July, about the 30th, they could have as much as $30 million in cap room, which would be enough or close to enough for one other max salary slot on the free agency market. So we'll see what happens in the days ahead. It sounds more likely that it'll be announced on the 6th, which means the Lakers do not have a max slot entering free agency, but there's a lot still to break on that front. And I think to some degree, it may depend on who says yes and no elsewhere on the free agent market. Anyway, as far as the deal, it's Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and three future first-round picks, well, picks and swap rights that really run all the way out until the year 2025. So when you factor in the likes of Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, the second overall picks in the 2016 and 2017 NBA drafts, a promising young player in Josh Hart, and picks and swap rights that run for 7 years, there's no way that the Rockets, an offer headlined by Clint Capella, maybe Chris Paul, and future first-round picks likely to be in the 20s, were going to compete with that. Especially because those Lakers picks that are in the 2020s, LeBron's going to turn 35 this year. Those picks, when he's 38, 39 years old, those could easily be lottery and maybe even top five. This could be the next generation's Boston-Brooklyn trade from about 2012 or so, when the Celtics shipped off Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and were set up for their next generation by all the draft picks that Brooklyn sent out. And many of them, of course, ended up being very high, considering the Nets, after Garnett and Pierce rapidly fell off a cliff in terms of their level of play, all of a sudden that set up the rebuild for the Celtics and what's been a good run for them, although not a championship run, over the past few years. So that's why the Rockets could not get in the door on AD. We knew they would try, but the Lakers were desperate, and according to Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN, who broke the story, the Lakers weren't really in the ballgame for any of the top free agents and still aren't following the AD trade report. the Lakers because they weren't really getting any of the top free agents in the market this summer. They were desperate with LeBron turning 35 later this year to do something, some sort of splash move to give him a better shot at succeeding, this being year two of his four-year deal in Los Angeles. And at 35 years old, we talk a lot in Houston about James Harden turning 30 later this year and why that means the Rockets the next two or three years. Everything is about the here and now with James Harden because we don't know how many prime years he has left. Well, just imagine LeBron James turning 35. That's why the Lakers had to do something. And with the top-of-the-line free agents apparently not wanting to go there, a very similar story to last summer when the Lakers got LeBron, but they couldn't seal the deal for Paul George or Chris Paul. Well, now the Lakers, they had an opportunity with the Pelicans, and of course New Orleans knew they had a lot of leverage because the Lakers were willing to pay this exorbitant cost because they didn't have that many other options on the market. And of course, Rich Paul, Anthony Davis's agent, also LeBron's agent, trying to get him to LA to get those two players together, and AD being a free agent next summer, being able to scare off some of his other suitors. It was the perfect storm for a deal to get done between the Pelicans and the Lakers. Really, the only thing holding it back was the bad blood from the trade deadline, the discussions earlier this year, but the front offices of both the Pelicans and the Lakers back then, New Orleans headed by Dell Demps, the Lakers by Magic Johnson, those have completely flipped. Now the Pelicans, David Griffin, and the Lakers, undoubtedly Rob Pelinka's organization at this point from a basketball standpoint, it allowed a deal to get done. And if you're the Rockets, there's nothing more you could have done. You just did not have the combination of young prospects and future picks that could be as valuable as those Lakers picks going out into the mid-2020s. James Harden should not be at least off a cliff by that point. There might be some decline, but the Rockets, as long as they have James, and they do for the foreseeable future, they should at least be a playoff team. The Lakers, you could very easily see a case where once LeBron gets to be 38, 39 years old and or his contract runs out, then they could be in a lot of trouble, and that's what the Pelicans are banking on. That's when they got a deal done. So the Lakers, they get a guy, a big man in Anthony Davis, who's just 26 years old at his peak. He's averaged 28 points, 12 rebounds per game. That sounds really good. However, predictably, given the Lakers and the size of the fan base, there is a lot of over-the-top reaction to this, specifically some of the Las Vegas books anointing them as the new favorites, not only in the Western Conference, but the entire NBA. That's just ridiculous. That's a reflection of the size of the fan base, the fact that so many casual fans are distracted by shiny new toys, that type of syndrome, and this early in the game, you want to attract action. So whether it be people wanting to ride the Laker bandwagon or wanting to encourage people to put money on other teams, because this is new, that's the storyline. With that said, we can acknowledge that Vegas odds are set largely for the purposes of money and getting it to come in on both sides. They are not set to actually mirror, especially this far out, what's going to happen on the basketball floor. The reality is that this is a Lakers team that won 37 games last year. And even if you want to concede that they're probably in the low 40s if they don't shut down LeBron James and so many other players early, okay, well, even if we give them the benefit of the doubt, then if you want to look at it with that level of nuance, you also have to acknowledge that Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, while not as good as Anthony Davis, they were contributors to what success the Lakers had. So you're not just taking a 40-something win team and adding Anthony Davis to it. You're adding Anthony Davis while subtracting these other pieces. And by the way, those are very talented players. Lonzo and Brandon Ingram, those are number two overall picks. Think back to the Christmas night game when LeBron left early with his groin injury against the Warriors and the Lakers still won going away. Those young players looked really, really good. They were inconsistent, but in their wins, they played a role. That's not to say that they're worse off with AD. Of course they're better. But what I'm objecting to is the characterization that they've gone from a middle-of-the-pack team, one that we've honestly been making jokes about for some time now, to suddenly a true championship contender. The reality is that the Lakers, even if we give them the benefit of the doubt in regards to shutting it down early, I'm not willing to say that, well, LeBron James' injuries, we mentioned the groin, I don't think those are going to go away. He's going to be 35 years old, and he's been playing NBA basketball since age 18. That tends to happen. Same story with Chris Paul here in Houston, who's now 34, and at the position of point guard in the NBA, there's not that many guys that play 15-plus years and into their mid to late 30s with the same degree of success. A similar story holds true with LeBron, so I don't think it's reasonable to expect him to go back to being an Iron Man. To some degree, the injuries are going to be a part of his NBA career from this point forward. Aside from that, again, Anthony Davis absolutely makes them better. But when you look at the Western Conference last season, the Lakers, even at their best, you're looking at a low to mid-40s win team that's in the tier of the Clippers, the Spurs, maybe the Thunder, although the Thunder with Russell Westbrook and Paul George still have another year of continuity. They weren't even in what I would consider the second tier of the West, which was Denver, Portland, Utah, let alone getting to where Houston was, 65 wins 2 years ago and on a 60-plus win pace for the final 57 games of the season, plus the 4-1 win over the Jazz in round one of the postseason. It's pretty clear, as I've explained since the season ended, that Houston was and is a tier above Denver, Utah, and Portland. Now, there's still Golden State, but at this point, given the injuries, given the fact that Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson are going to be free agents, we don't know exactly where Golden State is going to be next year. So taking them out of the equation and looking at the situations that are a little more stable, the Lakers don't just need to jump one tier. They need to jump two. They were not as good as the Jazz, the Nuggets, the Blazers, those types of teams. And they need to get to that level before you can think about really challenging a Houston team that has been a 60-win quality squad for really all of 2+ seasons now, with the one exception of that 25-game start, 11-14 with Carmelo Anthony, Michael Carter-Williams, the hangover effect, the injuries, all those types of things that happened in the first 6 weeks or so of the 2018-2019 season. The Lakers definitely got better with this move, and if you're the Rockets, you can't write them off. However, I'm also not going to assume that all of a sudden they're now right in Houston's class at the top of the West. That would be an extreme, extreme overreaction. Now, they could be. As we explained earlier, they could have anywhere between $23 and $32 million in cap room. And depending on who they get in free agency, do they go after one star? Do they try and get two or three role players to get themselves some more depth? Right now, they have LeBron, they have Anthony Davis, they have Kyle Kuzma, and not much else. Now, I'm sure there'll be a few players, especially at the minimum level, that would take a discount for the stage of LA, all the national TV games, the glitz, the opportunity to at least be a quasi-contender, that type of thing. But there's a lot of depth they gave up. We'll see if they go for one more star. We've heard Kemba Walker could be a target, although if they don't have max money, they'd be asking him to take over $100 million less in guaranteed funds relative to what he could get signing a 5-year max in Charlotte, where he showed a lot of interest in re-signing. That seems kind of a long shot. And then if you split the money between role players of, say, the J.J. Redick, Danny Green tier, we'll call them veteran shooters, those are nice. But does that really take you LeBron, AD, LeBron turning 35, and really AD, even though he's 26, he has a bit of an injury history of his own, and all of a sudden combine them with a few new veteran role player shooters, and that's going to take them from, let's be honest, the laughingstock they were for a lot of last season to a legitimate 60-win contender level? I think that's a stretch. I think to make that type of a jump, you don't need just one, you need two truly transformational type pieces. Now, could they get those? Maybe. They're the Lakers, and I'm sure they'll try. But a lot of us made this same assumption last year when LeBron said yes on July 1st, and really we learned in June that that's how this was trending. A lot of us assumed that, okay, LeBron's going to go there, and then they're going to get Paul George because he's been linked there for so long, or they can get Chris Paul, yada, yada, yada. And guess what happened? They used that space on Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee, and it was a clown show. It wasn't that they didn't try for those other guys. They did. Those players told them no. And this offseason, as far as the coaching, their top target was Tyronn Lue. It didn't work out. They hired Frank Vogel, who's had losing seasons in three of his last four and was let go from the Pacers and then the Orlando Magic. There are a lot of assumptions being made because I think LeBron and AD, they're exciting players. The league, a lot of casual fans, they would prefer it if the Lakers, especially in that market, are viable, if they're a contender. There are a lot of people that want them to be good. But from a basketball perspective, what we know, there is no reason to think that Anthony Davis alone is going to take them from the jokes that we've been making really for 4 or 5 months now to all of a sudden, oh, wow, they're back. They're right at the top of the list. No, that's an overreaction to the size of the market, the casual fans, the shiny new toy syndrome, those types of factors. Now, they can get there. They still have some more cap room. But given everything that's happened, they didn't get their top coaching choice. They didn't get their top free agents after LeBron last summer. I'm not willing to assume that because they pulled off this trade and gave up a ton of future assets in terms of their draft capital moving forward. Another thing that's going to hold them back, by the way, the picks they gave up and the swap rights, because of the NBA's rule that you can't trade consecutive future first-round picks moving forward, you can't trade at the deadline your 2021st, for example, because you've given up your 2021. Really, the Lakers aren't going to have assets they can trade until the 2026 or I think 2027 draft is what I read would be their next opportunity to include in a hypothetical proposal. And how much is that really going to mean on the market in 2019 and 2020? If you want to make a move at the deadline, the most precious commodity for a team selling off a veteran role player, let's say they want to add depth the way the Rockets added Iman Shumpert at the deadline this year. Okay, well, the Rockets gave up their 2019 first to make that happen. How are the Lakers going to do that? In addition to the pieces they gave up now, the flexibility they gave up moving forward is quite significant because of how it boxes them in from a trade standpoint. And you better believe that David Griffin in New Orleans understood that, because that's why he's willing to make the bet that the Lakers are not going to be a very good team in the 2020s, because he's taken away their ability to build a true contender around LeBron. It's not like he's trying to ruin the Lakers. It's just now that he has their draft picks, it's to his interest to have them fail. And that's why building a true roster around LeBron and AD is going to be really difficult. Now, if they get a third legitimate star, if they get a Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving type to say yes, then maybe. You would have to get a lot of guys at that point to sign for the minimum. You've got one room at MLE, but it is LA, it is LeBron. I understand all of that. But after everything that happened last summer, after signing LeBron, Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson, everything with the coaching search this year, Magic Johnson, sorry, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to give them that benefit of the doubt. That seems really ridiculous at this point. So while I think Anthony Davis clearly makes them better, does he take them to the level at which you say, wow, even though the Warriors take a step back relative to the Rockets, then the Lakers jump right into that same tier? No, I think that's a real, real overreach, and I'm not willing to go there at this point in time. And don't forget, this is a player in Anthony Davis that in 7 seasons in New Orleans won more than 35 games twice, won one playoff series. And it's not as if that team has been devoid of talent. Drew Holiday is really, really good. Boogie Cousins was there for nearly a full season, parts of 2 different ones, and they were basically a 500 team during that stretch. In a league where individual talents, the true stars, have such a strong correlation with winning, this is a league where James Harden took the carcasses of Jason Terry and Pablo Prigioni, nearly 40 years old, to a 55-win season and the Western Conference Finals. They've never won 50 in New Orleans, and they've won more than 35 twice in 7 seasons. Yes, I know what the numbers are. Some of it is because AD has his own issues with durability. But aside from that, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's harder as a big in the modern NBA. Maybe there's something else. But I'm not going to just give a blanket assumption that because he has these numbers, that it's going to translate to him having this truly top 5, top 10 level of impact and just transforming what the Lakers are as a franchise and really overcoming the fact that they've been just a complete joke over the last few months. I think he makes them better. Yes, that's fair. However, anything more than that at this point in time is an overreach. It can change. We'll see what happens in free agency. But right now, in mid-June, he makes them better, but he doesn't dramatically change the profile. We'll get back into the show momentarily, but for now, I want to tell you guys about our friends and sponsors over at Gallery Furniture, where they're kicking off the summer with red-hot savings on select items during the Red Hot Summer Sale. Stop by any convenient Houston-area Gallery Furniture location at 6006 North Freeway, 7227 West Grand Parkway South, or 2411 Post Oak Boulevard to take advantage of 40 to 60% savings on Houston's best selection of solid wood, made-in-America furniture, name-brand mattresses, 100% real top-grain leather and upholstered living room styles, one-of-a-kind market samples, and so much more. Plus, you'll find Gallery Furniture's lowest prices ever on quality pieces for every room in your home, including sofas starting at $399, dining sets as low as $599, Sealy queen-size mattresses starting at $599, and more. Don't miss your chance to enjoy these incredible summer savings at Gallery Furniture. And as always, when you shop Gallery Furniture today, you can have your quality purchases delivered straight to your Houston area home within hours when you choose same-day delivery. You can also visit them at galleryfurniture.com. All right, jumping back into our show, this is Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. We spent the first segment discussing the Anthony Davis trade to the Lakers, the potential ramifications for the Rockets in this offseason and 2019-2020 season ahead. The final two segments, I want to look at more rumor-based items. We started with AD because that's news. That's done, at least from the trade agreement perspective. Now they'll make it official some point in July. But we also have some news breaking this weekend in the aftermath of the NBA Finals ending and the offseason unofficially beginning that also has relevance to the Rockets, either directly or indirectly. The direct piece of potential relevance to the Rockets is an aggregation report that's been making the rounds regarding Chris Paul and whether he wants to stay in Houston. Of course, the Rockets acquired Chris Paul back in June of 2017. He's been a big part of two very successful seasons here in Houston, yet with this last one ending short of a title yet again, following the Golden State in six games this year after losing in seven a year ago, there have been reports that GM Daryl Morey is making everyone on the roster outside of James Harden, and yes, that includes Chris Paul, potentially available in trades. The Rockets gave him a four-year, $160 million deal in free agency last summer, effectively the max, which I think we all know was really a condition of the agreement, the original trade back in June 2017 when Chris Paul opted in to facilitate his move. So we heard on Friday from Stephen A. Smith, who was speaking on his radio show. He had Brian Windhorst on as a guest, and he said this quote, "With Kevin Durant out, with Klay Thompson out for most of the season, one could argue the Houston Rockets now have a window to get to the NBA Finals. But you're also hearing Chris Paul wants out. Chris Paul wouldn't mind going somewhere else, preferably LA, maybe, we don't know, with LeBron. We don't know. But you're hearing he wants out." The one thing I would immediately urge you guys to remember is that this is a radio program. He is not writing this. As someone that hosts just a 30-minute daily program, I shudder to think sometimes how ridiculous I would look if someone literally transcribed every single word of what I said. In a live or pseudo-live format, you can't speak with the precision that you can write. But what happens in today's world of aggregation is that reports when someone is speaking then get translated like it's something that, say, Adrian Wojnarowski is writing for ESPN.com and given the same weight. So for starters, ask yourself what the motivation would be for the original source. In this case, it would be someone related to Chris Paul on his camp, so to speak, to leak that if he had to Stephen A. Smith or Brian Windhorst. Now, for starters, Stephen A. Smith did not say, "I'm hearing." He said, "You're hearing." And in this case, he was speaking with Brian Windhorst. Windhorst never confirmed or said anything along the lines of that report that he had heard Chris Paul wanted out. So that immediately makes me a little bit skeptical. Beyond that, yes, Stephen A. Smith has connections amongst NBA players. If the Chris Paul camp was trying to leverage the Rockets into a trade, getting Stephen A. Smith to make a half-hearted remark on a radio show is not the way to do it. You give concrete intel so that he can write a story. It'll go on the ESPN.com website. It'll go all over the world. These aggregation reports from radio shows or podcasts, a lot of them lose the true meaning, and in part, it's because it's hard to capture what the person was actually saying. Spoken words do not equate to written words. Now, we try our best, but it doesn't always work out that way. I could also see a scenario where Stephen A. Smith was putting together things that he had heard. For example, we know from Shams Charania that there's a little bit of friction between Chris Paul and James Harden, allegedly during an after game six, which, as I've said, is natural. When competitors in the heat of battle are trying to win and you lose, you're always going to wonder if there's things that you could have done differently that could have been better. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I'd be more worried if they shrugged their shoulders and acted like it wasn't a big deal. No, they're trying to win at the highest level. They are cutthroat competitors. So I'm not really alarmed by that. I never have been. And I could see Stephen A. Smith conflating that friction with reports from Woj, his colleague at ESPN, that the Rockets and Daryl Morey are looking to move everyone, or at least open to moving everyone. And Woj made it clear that that could potentially include Chris Paul. And then conflating the report of Chris Paul and James Harden having some friction with the report that there are trade talks, and assuming that it might be a situation where Chris Paul wants out. I don't know. But what I will tell you is that if Stephen A. Smith felt strongly that he had information that Chris Paul wanted out of Houston, and if it was something that the source who relayed that to him wanted to use as leverage, i.e. Chris Paul felt strong enough about it that they wanted to do everything in their power to get out of Houston, they wouldn't just mention it passively and have it be a by-the-by remark on a podcast or a radio show, whatever it may be. They would speak it in a manner of confirmation. Run with this story. That's not what happened. He didn't say, I'm hearing. He said, you're hearing. And if he was referring to Brian Windhorst, well, Windhorst sure as heck did not address it at all. So I tend to think something was misconstrued, or it's something that Stephen A. Smith did not feel very strongly about. Maybe he heard it from someone that was guessing themselves and was not directly connected to Chris Paul. I just don't see Stephen A. Smith, if he has concrete information that he believes that Chris Paul wants out of Houston, mentioning it so casually in that type of format. It just does not make sense to me. So I think something along the chain of communication was lost. And while I'm not saying there's nothing to it, I think the odds are it's probably exaggerated to a large degree. Again, I'll say what I said towards the beginning of this segment, which is that things that are written are not the same as things that are spoken. If you transcribe everything that Stephen A. Smith says on his radio show, on his podcast, or if you try and transcribe everything that I say on this podcast, it's probably not going to match exactly the way I would want it phrased if I were writing a story. That's just a reflection of the format, the live or pseudo-live talk show for, in my case, 30 minutes, in Stephen A. Smith's case, a lot more than that. It's hard. So I would not take this as the gospel, especially when he's not even saying, I'm hearing in the report. I would maintain a healthy degree of skepticism until the reporting is more than that. Now, I understand that you probably read and seen it a lot of places this weekend. That's the aggregation world that we're in today in 2019. Where so many sites that are hungry for clicks or ratings, they repackage the same root information so many different ways to where it feels like it's this huge story. No, it all traces back to one 30-second quip that Stephen A. Smith has with Brian Windhorst on his radio show. At this point, I don't see why we should give this too much consideration. With that said, the other reason why I've downplayed this story, and I've had a lot of people asking me on Twitter, at Ben DuBose, what do I think? The other factor is that even if it's true, what does it really mean? Because Chris Paul is under contract with the Rockets for three more seasons. He gave away his control when he re-signed with Houston last summer. Now, I know in a perfect world, we'd like to believe that all of our players, and especially star players, are happy where they are, that they want to be, in this case, with the Houston Rockets organization. Well, guess what? That's not the way the world really works. Hakeem Olajuwon, back in the 90s, less than 2 years before he won his first championship, he asked out of Houston. Back in the mid-2000s, less than 2 years before Kobe Bryant, who's now considered one of the stalwarts of the legendary Los Angeles Lakers organization, less than 2 years before he won his first title without Shaq as the true alpha dog of his team, he asked out with a trade. And then he ended up winning multiple titles after that. They made it work. Just as in the early 90s, the Rockets made it work with Hakeem. When your expectations are that high and you fall short, these things will happen. There are going to be disputes. It's not always easy going. There's so much pressure. There's so much stress. And in this case, people have seen Chris Paul and LeBron James hanging out this summer. They're friends. That's the reality. A lot of players are on the league. James Harden and Russell Westbrook. They're on different teams, but they're friends. They hang out. it doesn't mean that anything is happening or the players are even wanting something to happen. But in this world we're in 2019 with clicks and ratings and social media that did not exist even 10 plus years ago in the case of Twitter, let alone back in the 90s with the Hakeem situation, these storylines, which are really not that atypical with not just good players, but great players in the case of Hakeem with the Rockets in the 90s, Kobe Bryant with the Lakers in the 2000s, they're given a different type of life today because we're much more, as fans and media, intensely involved in the process. And sometimes, even when there isn't really a report, it gets blown out of proportion because there's such a hunger, a thirst for any type of news. In this case, look, Chris Paul is under contract for 3 more years, and at $40 million a year, and now at 34 years old, he's not even really that much of a positive asset anyway, so even if the Rockets wanted to trade him, it's not clear what they could really get. Brian Windhorst pushed back on Stephen A. Smith saying the same thing, that he thought the Rockets could trade Chris Paul, he just didn't think it would be to their betterment as a team. That, in my opinion, is the lens, and the only lens, that the Rockets are going to look at this through. Does trading Chris Paul make you a better basketball team? I highly doubt it will, for the reasons I've explained for a few weeks now, because you're not going to get fair value for him, what he brings you on a basketball floor at his contract. And for the Rockets, because they're over the salary cap by much more than just the amount of Chris Paul's contract, then you would not be able, even if you were to trade Chris Paul, even in the cap space, you wouldn't have that much in room to spend on other players. So it's tough to see where a deal makes sense for both sides. In this case, we're in the middle of June. No one's going to report for training camp until late September. There are no games until October. There is plenty of time to smooth things over, and this is not unprecedented by any stretch. Even if there is friction, which I'm not reporting, I'm just saying even in the worst-case scenario, you can work it out. Chris Paul is a professional. He signed last summer knowing that there'd be ups and downs. There have been at every one of his other stops. The Clippers, the Hornets. He's seen the ups and downs. He's the head of the NBA's players' union. This is not new to him. The last 2 years in Houston have been two of his most successful from a team perspective in all of his years in the NBA. It is not going to be that difficult, even if there is a little bit of uncertainty at the moment, to talk Chris Paul back onto the straight and narrow, so to speak. And I'm not even saying that that will need to be done. I'm just saying that even in a worst-case scenario, there is no reason for the Rockets to operate this offseason any differently if Chris Paul wants out than if he didn't. All that matters is that he is under contract and the Rockets are going to make decisions based on what gives them the most talented basketball team starting this October, and now especially with the Warriors falling off a bit with the injuries to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, and we'll see what happens in free agency. Their window is wider than ever. I just do not think Chris Paul's mental state, exactly what he thinks about the system in Houston, where he fits, what his desires are as of June 17th, 2019. I just don't think, even if he does have some questions, which I'm not willing to go that far, but even in the worst case scenario, I just don't think it matters that much. So in my opinion, number one, my instinct is that the Stephen A. Smith story is overblown to begin with. I think he would have presented it in a much more definitive manner if he had concrete intel and or if someone connected to Chris Paul was trying to get that intel out. I don't think it would be mentioned as passively as it was. But even if somehow the worst case scenario, it is correct, I still don't really see it being anything that's a real storyline for the Rockets. What's going to dictate Chris Paul's future with the Rockets is what Daryl Morey can get on the market. And that's going to depend on how other teams value Chris Paul and what they're willing to give up. And whether Chris Paul wants to be in Houston, I guess in a perfect world, it'd be great if he was on board with everything. But the reality is that these types of things happen. There are lots of players that over the course of their NBA careers, there are times in which they don't know exactly where they fit in and they have questions. But these guys are professionals. And if the Rockets want to run it back with Chris Paul and or they just think that's in their best interest, given his contract status and everything else, I feel pretty confident that things are going to be just fine between the Rockets and CP3. I would rate that storyline as largely overblown unless there's much more concrete information than what we have right now. We'll finish up our show in just a few moments, but for now I want to tell you guys a little bit about our friends and partners over at Twillery. Because with Twillery, smart casual just got smarter and cheaper. Twillery is built on a century-old family manufacturing business. They make millions of shirts a year for leading brands, and they leverage those contacts and their team's technical know-how to keep costs down while maintaining high standards in quality and craftsmanship. Their view is that shirts shouldn't wrinkle, itch, or sweat. Because it's 2019, these guys know that shirts are a commodity, and they make stocking up your closet as simple as restocking beer in your fridge. Easy, affordable, and the perfect fit, guaranteed. They offer non-iron, untuckable, and performance stress shirts, and with free shipping and returns, you can try on some Twills risk-free. After all, feeling is believing. Twillery brings performance work shirts to the next level with four-way stretch material that shuts down wrinkles, stops sweat, and keeps you looking and feeling cool. Best of all, it's the top value in smart workwear. With the Shop and Bundle model, you all have access to shirts that competitors are selling for $100 and up for as low as $55 per shirt. Grab yourself some today at Twillery.com/LockedOn and use the promo code LockedOn for $25 off. They've even got a limited time Father's Day special where you can enjoy a free set of bottle opener collar stays with your purchase. That's all from our friends over at Twillery, who you can visit at Twillery.com/LockedOn. That's Twillory. And don't forget to use that promo code LockedOn for an extra $25 off on anything in their complete line of apparel. Final thoughts as we close out on this Monday, June 17th. We spent the first two segments looking at the Lakers adding Anthony Davis and then the report of the Rockets and Chris Paul perhaps having some friction. I would be skeptical of assuming too much on that front, but at this point, there's such little out there in the way of concrete information that all we can really do is wait. It's pointless to go too far down that road. Along the same vein, another story that I want to throw a bit of cold water on is what was reported on Friday from Chris Haynes of Yahoo that Jimmy Butler of the Sixers was planning to opt out of his contract, barring something unforeseen. The reason this was noteworthy to the Rockets, of course, is that we all know Houston went after Jimmy last fall, offering as many as four future first-round picks and or some combination of Eric Gordon, Brandon Knight, the players and salaries they had at the time. Now Jimmy Butler is going to become a free agent, and we've talked about whether it be Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, someone on their current team right now, either directly to the Sixers or the three-team scenario, using that as bait, both from a talent standpoint and a salary matching standpoint, to get Jimmy Butler. And the easiest way to get Jimmy to Houston, if he opts in, he would be making only about $20 million next year. And so you'd only have to trade one of Gordon or Capella. Whereas if he opts into free agency, he'd want the max, which is close to $30 million a year. And you'd be having to give up both Gordon and Capella or one of those two and PJ Tucker. Point is, you'd be making yourself a much worse basketball team. So the best way to get Jimmy Butler to Houston to upgrade them for this coming season would be similar to how the Rockets got Chris Paul 2 years ago, and opt in to the final year of his existing contract, and then a trade, and as a condition of the trade, a wink-wink between the Rockets and Jimmy Butler that, hey, we'll give you that full max that you're declining right now, we'll give it to you next summer when your option year runs out. And at face value, when you see a report from Chris Haynes that Jimmy Butler is planning on opting out, then it eliminates his most viable path to Houston. And while, in theory, he could still get to Houston by sign and trade, then Houston's pitch would be reduced because by virtue of what it would take to line up salaries with Houston being over the salary cap, then Houston's pitch to Jimmy as, hey, this is a championship contender, this is where you can win a ring, it isn't as strong. So at face value, just as LeBron James a year ago, when we talked about any route of getting LeBron to Houston would likely require an opt-in and trade, a similar theme occurs here with Jimmy. With that said, the wording of the Chris Haynes story that he is planning to opt out but has not yet, barring an unforeseen change, that is massive. Because think about this. If Jimmy Butler really were to just opt in without a trade being lined up, he would be giving up all of his leverage. The Sixers would be more than happy, in my opinion, to get Jimmy Butler back in their organization. He's a very good player. And at $20 million, paying way less in terms of team salary, luxury taxes, everything else, than if they had to sign him to a new deal, potentially as much as 5 years. If he were to opt in, there would be no way for him to facilitate a trade. The only way he could facilitate a trade is with the threat of leaving Philadelphia for zero compensation, which can only happen if he opts out and becomes a free agent this summer. So saying that he's planning to opt out does not necessarily mean that trade possibilities involving him opting in are off the table. It could be that's the leak that has to happen to put any pressure on Philadelphia, the thought that they could lose him for nothing. Because clearly, Philadelphia would rather re-sign him than trading to Houston for Eric Gordon or Clint Capella or whatever it may be. They would prefer in a perfect world to keep him. The opportunity for Houston is just if for whatever reason Jimmy Butler doesn't want that and it's a better scenario for the Sixers than losing him for nothing. Now, I'm not saying that I think Jimmy Butler is going to end up in Houston. Personally, I don't. That's because with any free agent, if you're going to look at one team and say, is it going to happen or not, you can almost always bet not and be correct. Because there's only one team that these guys can say yes to, and there's always way, way more than one team that are going after them. So no, I'm not saying that I think Jimmy Butler is going to end up a Rocket. It is inherently unlikely, just like it is with any free agent, especially if you're a team like the Rockets that doesn't even have cap space. I'm not saying that, wow, you have to buy in that this is happening. No, what I'm saying is that while you can maintain a healthy degree of skepticism, it's also silly to write it off based on reports, and there could be others in the coming days, that a player is planning to opt out. Because even if he does want to opt in and facilitate a trade, the opt out is the leverage. Otherwise, the team is not going to do anything. The news is when a player actually does opt out. For a comparison, Chris Paul 2 years ago, I mentioned that as the opt-in parallel to the current Jimmy Butler situation. He informed the Clippers on June 23rd that he was planning to opt out. And guess what? On June 28th, he was dealt to Houston less than a week later by opting in. The planning to opt out is not a formal announcement. That's just saying, I am considering my options, and it's what gives him, be it on the current market this summer with who has cap room, or teams that don't but might need him to opt in, it gives him options there as well. That is what you say to give yourself the widest potential parameter of options. The news is when Jimmy or any other player actually does opt in. Because when he does that, that's when the pool shrinks. That's when the opt-in actually goes away. Until he does it, it is no different than Chris Paul saying he's opting out on June 23rd, which is what his camp leaked to the media. And less than a week later, he opted in to facilitate a trade to Houston because that's what made the most sense for the Rockets at the time. So with Jimmy now and other free agents in the next week or two, because really most of these decisions won't be made until closer to the end of the month, right before free agency starts at 5 p.m. Houston time on June 30th, you're going to hear a lot about somebody's leaning towards opting out, somebody leaning towards opting in. Leaning towards is not a tell. All that matters is what a player actually does. So for tonight, that will do it for our show here at Locked On Rockets. And if you want more content before our next episode, there are, of course, many ways that you can get that. First and foremost is Twitter, where I'm on there at Ben DuBose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, we've got a website, LockedOnRockets.com, Facebook account at Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways you can access prior episodes, or you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, those types of things. And before we go, I do want to once again thank and acknowledge our great sponsors. And keep in mind that if you support these guys, you're also helping us grow at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. One of those sponsors, of course, is Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now in full swing. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. You can also support our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. And in addition to supporting our sponsors, please remember that to get this show every day, you can and should subscribe to Locked On Rockets on Himalaya's new podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Of course, you can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and a whole lot more. And I encourage you to do so and leave 5-star reviews wherever you can. And when you get in your car or you go to the gym, you can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets and listen to our most recent episodes that way as well. Once again, I'm Ben DuBose. Thanks to all of you for listening. And please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.